Blog Talk Radio.
Instead of a Tuesday, this is the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Kip Gross. He's out there in Phoenix or Newport. We'll find out here momentarily. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in humid Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you missed 30 minutes of it, catch the rerun, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Kip the Threes, how are you? Wherever you are there, how can people get a hold of you? And we're on the eve of trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm doing great, Mark. It's a great day in Newport Beach right now. The weather's outstanding. I think it might be the only cool place in the United States right now. Back in Phoenix, it's still over 100 degrees, and I know where you're at, it's really hot and humid too. So get a hold of me with beagamer@gmail.com, beagamer@gmail.com, and kipgross.com. And, yeah, let's have a great show today, okay?
Yeah, definitely. Let's start out with the bands. And I'm sure your top five bands, because I'm going to throw five at you, but I'll let you go first. Not any particular order, but give me five of the best bands, whether you wanted to hear that when you were coming up, warming up, or whatever. I know you don't get that walk-up music sometimes unless you're coming out from the pen. Any favorite songs that, man, oh, man, you would love to hear when you were warming up and throwing out there?
You know what? I've always been an AC/DC fan since I was a little kid, and it just, you know, their music all sounds the same, kind of, sort of. You know, as soon as you hear an AC/DC song, you know who AC/DC is. You just know it's them. And, you know, I've always told people that if you just do anything in life a little bit, like go around to a mall or go to a shopping center, go to the Safeway or to a store, you're going to hear AC/DC every day. One way or another, you're going to hear a song of theirs, because that's just, they're iconic and they're everywhere with their music. So I've always been an AC/DC fan back in the day and with the current one, you know. I've got a lot of good bands I've always liked. I've never been a really big country fan. But, you know, this day's country and age with the country, it's changed a little bit. It's got a little more rock and roll to it. So I do like it more. Van Halen, you know, I've always been a Van Halen fan. I actually got to hang out with Eddie Van Halen one night. We had a little party after one of his concerts. And then it was God rest his soul, too, a couple of years ago. So top five, my God, geez. We'd have to go round and round. I don't have any tops, you know. After AC/DC, that's about it as far as tops. But Rush, they're huge baseball fans, the Rush guys. So we had a good run in with them in spring training one year when I was with the Dodgers. A bunch of ball players met in Orlando for one of their concerts, and he had us all in afterwards for an after party, and it was a blast hanging out with those guys. So. All the guys that like baseball and that they're good. Yeah, good bands out there.
Wow, unbelievable! I'll throw a few out towards your way too. I've always liked Bruce Springsteen. Seen him in concert a few times. Journey would be up there. I've never seen them, but Journey would be one. Saw Foreigner. Foreigner would be in that mix of things. Scorpions would probably be my fourth. Yeah, the Scorpions throwing out there where you can, kind of break it. And Carlos Santana.
Oh, there you go.
Very good one.
That's a good one right there.
Just a legend in more ways than one. Hey, let's get into the trading deadline. We talked about it the last couple of weeks when it was approaching. Quite different this year. It's a little later. We got rentals, two-month rentals, and, you know, teams don't want to part with a lot, so they're dealing minor leaguers for these part-time rentals. But at the same time, you know, when you get these rentals, my mindset would be, hey, you know what? Let me sign them. We got the jump on them before they become a free agent. I don't know what your take is on this. We talked about in the pre-chat with Crone, with Gridchuk, Louis Giolito, a local boy out here. Last week the Angels grabbed, so they're loaded up for Bear. Three games behind in the wild card, 2 months to go. Man, oh man, Kip, I don't even know where to start. We can go with any one of these teams that have started to load up, whether it's the Giants. The Dodgers, to me, really haven't went out there and made the big splash. Texas has. They went up, got Max Scherzer, picked up Jordan Montgomery. So they're picking up guys to go along with Eovaldi and stuff like that down there in the hot Texas heat. But as I give it over to you, tell me what your feeling is on this. In 2 months being in a city, I guess, you know, you played the game. Hey, guys, you want me? Let's lock this thing down so I'm not, you know, entertaining any offers in November and December.
Yeah, you know what? I really think the Angels did a really, really smart thing by bringing Crone back to L.A. because he's very familiar with it. He played there for quite a while. You know, Pujols was there, so that's the reason he probably got traded in the first place. But now he's in his prime. He's been a couple other places, and he's not only hitting for power now, he's actually got his average. You know, he hits better for average now. And so I think they did a smart thing with him because not only because his salary isn't – I think he's way underrated as far as his salary. I think he's worth a lot more than he's getting right now. But to bring a guy back into where you started, where you got drafted and where you started your big league career and to play for so many years in LA the way he did, I think that's a really smart move on their part because he's not going to have to come in and kind of get familiar with anything anymore. Cause he's already very familiar. He probably lives around there. I know CJ. Him and his dad are great people. And he's just one of those guys that, you know, he gets along with everybody and he's really practiced trade. He works hard, and he's now in an opportunity to make the playoffs and do his thing. So it's things where I really believe that the Angels are going to really do well with him, and just another, you know, spot in that lineup where you got to worry about a guy hitting the long ball on you. And he's proven himself now, and so I think they're doing the right thing with him there. But I'd still like to see them get another top pitcher, but you know, how many trades can you make to get that done for these top guys like, you know, Ohtani and Trout right now? And I think they've got to do this because you only get so many chances, and they've only, you know, Trout's only been one playoffs in his career so far, and I think what they only played one or two games or something like that, and so that's it. So I think that you know, Artie Moreno's doing the right thing here by help getting the fans to back him, and let's go and see what we can do.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, and what I learned from you on that was one word, proven himself. When he was at the Angels, I think he kind of got lost in the shuffle. He didn't get the playing time. He moved on to Minnesota, went to Colorado. He's been, and all of a sudden, it seemed like his career really blossomed. He's been hitting the home runs. He's been, you know, getting the average up there. I believe he was even in an All-Star game, if I'm not mistaken, too, last year. Mm-hmm. Or the year before, one of those years, I believe he was in an All-Star game. I could be mistaken, but it's just he's just progressed so much. And when he left the Angels the first time, and now coming back as that proven leader, along with Gridchuk there, who came, you know, and everybody that comes out of St. Louis is something else. Anyhow, they just seem to blossom. The Cardinals get those guys, and they become mainstays other places. But I think what they've done is the Angels wanted to solidify one problem. Let's hold on to Ohtani. Let's work with him, you know, with the last 2 months of the season. He wants to win. Let's surround him with something. But you brought up an interesting point again last week. I think it's time to deal Mike Trout for some prospects or something because you can't win with both these guys. I know you're bringing a nice supporting cast there, but you can't count on Trout for a whole season right now. He's getting older. What's your take on Mike Trout?
Well, you know, I've been saying it for quite a few years, at least 3 or 4 years back. I've said in order for the Angels to win, they've got to deal Mike Trout for prospects and get some pitching and get some top talent in there, because one guy does not win in baseball. It's been a proven fact, and they've been trying and trying for quite a few years, and they've kind of proven that you can't do it. And yeah, Mike Trout's a heck of a talent, hell of a talent. My God, what a talent! You know, he's so athletic and as good as he is. But this is an if from back when. If they'd have done this, you know, 4 years ago, I think the Angels would be a completely different team right now. But the problem is when you think of the Angels, you think of one guy, and you think of Mike Trout. And now you got Ohtani in there, so now people are thinking Ohtani. So do you make that trade right now with Mike Trout? And the other thing is, he is getting hurt quite a bit now, and so is he worth what he was worth even 2 years ago, you know, in your prospects? So do you hang on to him, or do you get what you can for him and hopefully bring a winner in? I mean, how many Angel fans are sitting in those stands every day coming to see Trout, and how many are coming to see Ohtani right now? That's the big question for me, because I think it's probably split down the middle. Trout has been nothing but a darling for the Angels for his whole career so far. But when it comes time and crunch time now, do you want to win, or do you want to please the fans, or do you want to do both? And
yeah, no doubt about it.
You're in a really catch 22 right now with the whole situation, because do you deal Trout? You know they're not going to deal Ohtani, but they're going to try to make a deal with him for the next 20 years somehow. I'm guessing they definitely are somehow, because if they don't win this year, I think your chance of bringing Ohtani back are slim to none. And so they're doing the right thing to maybe make him think that they're going to make a run at this. Well, they're going to, for sure. But at the same time, is Mike Trout now kicked to the side? Is he kicked to the curb right now? I think he should be. I mean, I would deal him in a second if I could get some pitching for him right now and make a big run at this playoff, because they're doing the right thing right now, for sure, Mark.
Well, not only that, you bring up a great point. And the point is, by keeping Ohtani, you're committed to him. You want to work something out. You're hoping for a hometown discount. You know, we don't know how long his arm can hold up as far as the pitching. I know he's young. We know he can hit. So maybe the Angels are looking for a little bit of a discount. I don't think the guy's going back east. I think he's staying on the West Coast. Even if he goes the free agent route, I think it's San Diego, the Dodgers, could be the Angels in the mix, could be the Mariners, the Giants, who knows. I just think it's strictly up and down the five when you look at where he's going. I could be wrong. When you look at Trout, I think the best scenario would have been a few years ago when the Yankees came calling. You could have probably got a bunch of prospects there, could have moved them. Now it's going to be one of those things, well, he's getting older, injury prone a little, do you still try to move them? So that's the thing there. The other thing is, hey, don't put much stock in what I say. When the season started, and I'll be the first one to admit, and I'm not going to waver away from it, I had the San Diego Padres playing the Seattle Mariners for this World Series. Now, on that note, I don't know who you had, but talking about Ohtani and the hometown, you know, discount, any thought to all that?
Well, yeah, I've always been the guy since I can remember where you just can't go buy a championship with a bunch of hitters. You know, that offensive lineup comes and goes every day. In my opinion, you got to go out. You've got to get the pitching staff. You got to get those first five guys, a setup guy and a closer, and hopefully maybe have this and that in the middle somewhere. And I don't think that's what the Padres did. Yeah, they got an ace. They got a number one, no question about it. He's awesome. There's no question. He's probably one of the best pitchers in baseball and might be the Cy Young this year, probably will be. But at the same time, you've got to have a whole bullpen full of those guys and starters that can do the same thing when you have that lineup. Because like I said, pitching is pretty consistent throughout the course of a year. We're hitting, you know, you got slumps, comes and goes, and so, you know, you look at that lineup and you say, oh, my God, how do they lose? But they don't do everything they're supposed to do because the pitching's not there every night. And I think that has a lot to do with that. I also think that the gel and the camaraderie in San Diego isn't quite what people think it is. You know, you got all those stars there I think that's a tough thing to do unless, like, you're in a New York Yankees, you know, back when all those guys, the Jeters and those guys were around, you know, they all gelled. You had the, you know, a guy like him to keep everything together. But I don't know. Who's your top guy in San Diego? Who's the guy that keeps that team, you know, on even keel? I don't know. They all kind of showboat out there, you know, and it's like, look at me, instead of, hey, let's play baseball and win. And I just don't like that about the Padres. So, me, I'm a big Astros fan still. I still think that they have the lineup, they have the pitching, and I think that's where they go. As far as National League, you always know that the Dodgers are going to be close there just because they have the payroll they have. But now you're seeing a couple of the teams pop up there, which I think is really, really nice. But in the it's a tough gig to call who you're going to call from the day one because of injuries, trades, just everything, you know. And it's a tough call from day one to call a World Series.
Well, not only that, and I think the Dodgers are going to have something to say on this. I still think, and I could be wrong, but I'm going to throw it out there. Before this trading deadline's done tomorrow, I think Nolan Arenado is going to waive his no trade and agree to go to the Dodgers because the Dodgers need a third baseman. And part of the package going the other way was Max Muncy leading it. Now, he's a great clubhouse leader. I know he's batting 197 with like 28 home runs, but I think that would be the thing. And that could solidify the Dodgers in the infield. You know, they're not getting much production out of their shortstop position. Rojas is a great defensive thing, but they're just not getting – the last few years they've lost depth at that shortstop position in Seager and Trey Turner that could hit. And without that, you know, now you brought up Vargas at second base, but you bring back Kiki Hernandez, so you're trying to get some solidification there. I think the Dodgers are going to have to do something if they're going to have to be a big player in this playoffs because – Atlanta right now is clear and above the best in the National League.
Oh, there's no doubt. Atlanta's just they're on a different planet than all the other teams with what they're doing. But you're right. The Dodgers, they got to solidify that left side of the infield. And if they don't do that, it's just going to be same old with what you're saying. You know, the 190 average just doesn't cut it. And if you're not hitting, you know, 45 bombs or 40 home runs, that's just not going to happen. And so I think you could be right with Arenado being over there. I mean, that would be a huge, huge move.
Yeah.
And it's probably at last minute in the trade line if it does come at all. But it's just tough to get rid of a guy like that, and it's tough to acquire a guy like that because he's a no trade. And so even if he wants to, maybe he doesn't want to go. You know, it's one of those things. Do I really want to go over there or what have you? So there's so many factors that the fans don't really realize goes into these trades, you know, with who they're getting, how they get them. Is there another team going to be involved? You know, does the wife want to go? Does the family want to go? Do they want to pick up in the middle of the season? Especially when you got the no trade, it's in your hands, and you can now even make a deal and say, you know what, if I want to be traded, let's talk negotiations right now instead of waiting or have that happen immediately. So, I'm not a big fan of the no trade clause in baseball. I think it's almost like it's a staple now, where guys get it in there, and they take advantage of it. And it's more the player thing. I think there should be give and take on both ends with all that. So, but I also don't believe that a guy should be able to be traded just instantly either. I think there should be some, you know, back and forth with all those,
right,
with the player and management somehow. I'm with you. I think the Dodgers are going to make a move sooner or later. And also they'll be there sooner or later at the end because they have the talent. They do every year. So we'll see what happens.
No doubt about it. And I can remember the people that, you know, you've always seen these things in the contracts. Bobby Bonilla, we talked about him every July 1st. He gets a nice pay cut in his thing where, you know, Kevin Brown had the perks where the airlines or something, you get all the flights with the family and everything with the Dodgers and stuff. And so those perks come in. And the no trade, you know, to me, I kind of think it helps the player out more or less because, hey, listen, to be moved in the middle of the season, the kids are getting ready to go to school, you're getting situated, you've been in the city, and now it's kind of like, wait a minute, I'm getting a little older in my life here. Can I take a hometown discount? I'll stay with the city. I don't really want to. I'm not into the moving thing unless you're going to throw in a Bel Air mansion or something, and then we can all go out there. But yeah, you bring up some great points on that. And but you know what? Talking about the Cardinals, and, you know, when I look at the Cardinals, I got to look at the New England Patriots. I look at the San Antonio Spurs. You could even throw the Miami Heat in there. It just seems like the foundation, the structure, and even when you were playing the game, and we're talking about stolen base guys, the E.T. McGee's, you know, the Vince Coleman's, the Ozzie Smith's. When you were on that mound, I mean, who did you get the best of where you got some pickoffs in there and you were going to get that guy one way or another? Or they just seemed to jump and it was more on the catcher than it was you, because I'm never going to put the blame on you, my brother.
Well, you know what? Stolen bases, I'm not glad they changed the rules with everything as far as only a couple pickoffs now and having bigger bases. But I'm glad to see that they're even are running a lot more, because you got to have that action in the game. And now you can turn that single into a double and that single or into a triple. And that's one of the problems with today's, all the statistics out there. They're saying, you know, the singles hitter isn't the good guy anymore. You know, Tony Gwynn today probably wouldn't even be in a good lineup anymore, because they'd say, well, Tony didn't hit doubles and triples and home runs. And but if you can get a guy like Tony Gwynn who could steal bases also when he was really doing his thing, you know, the Vince Colemans of the world hit singles and run and do that. Now your analytics come into play more, and so it's just, as far as the stolen base is what it does, it completely changes the pitcher's mindset on the mound when that guy gets on base, because now you don't want him to steal second. So now am I throwing more fastballs to keep him at first base, or am I going to just pitch to the hitter and try to get him out? So there's a give and take there, and sometimes like a Ricky Henderson, you know, I've talked to a lot of stolen base guys, and, you know, a lot of them won't even run unless there's a curveball or an off-speed pitcher if you're in that count, because they know they're going to get that extra step with an off-speed pitch. And so as a pitcher, am I going to throw another fastball to this guy because I got to give my catcher a chance to throw him out at second base? And so there's so much that goes into the art of pitching besides just trying to get a hitter out. You got to factor in the scoreboard. You know, do I care if this guy runs to second base right now? There's two outs. Don't care if he goes to second base. You know, I can always pitch around this guy if he does. There's just so much that goes into it. So, but I will tell you in a second, there ain't a pitcher out there. There's not one pitcher out there that doesn't change his mindset when that stolen base guy is at first base, because you don't want him to go, and you want to protect your catcher too. And so are you going to take off a little bit extra by slide stepping? Are you going to hurry up to the plate just a little bit, a little different? But your mind isn't just on the hitter now. You got a runner over there. So that's one of the things I'm not happy with as far as how they change the rules and only get two throwovers, two pickoff attempts, because there was a game within a game with those runners over there. And, you know, you stepped off or you kind of, you know, held the ball a little longer, and you can't do all these things anymore. So now it's pretty much 90% in the runner, the stolen base runners court as far as they want to do. So, but I am glad to see that there are more stolen bases. I am, just because it's picking up the game some.
Well, and not only that, you know, and you being a right-hander, left-handers could even keep them more closer to that bag. But if I'm in your shoes, I'm going to try to wear out that runner. Now, you can't do it today because they've changed the rules on you. But when in the guys back then, in your time frame, I mean, that was something. I mean, those guys would flat-out run. You could throw Barry Bonds in there, Dunston, and the list, Brett Butler. The list would go on here. But when you get those guys that know they're going to actually, you know, try to increase their stolen base lead on whoever, you know, they're chasing or they're above, I would start throwing some pitch outs the first couple pitches, you know, to give the catcher a chance or to give yourself an opportunity to really get that ball in there. Any thought to that?
Well, most people don't know that a pitch out is only when there might be a hit and run on. There's no reason to pitch out if there's no hit and run on, because all you're doing is throwing out there so the hitter doesn't swing. And that's the only reason you really need a pitch out, is for that reason. other than that, you would, as a catcher, you would rather come up the lane, the catcher's lane, and throw straight to second base and have to step out and throw. And so, no question about it, there's been a lot of guys thrown out on pitch outs because he does get just a little extra out there and cheats a little bit better. But if you ask most catchers, they would rather just have a fastball down the middle to throw the ball to second base. But you're right about the stolen base guys back when, you know, the Tim Raines of the world. You know, those it's like, how do you stop these guys? You know, if they get a good jump, they get a good jump. There's nothing you can do, and that's why in today's game you can't mess with the runners but two times. And then from then on, now it's like, okay, I'll just maybe wait till the clock runs out to make my move to home. When it's just, that's why you're seeing the stolen bases so high right now, is because of that. And it's somewhere along the line they're going to have to put an asterisk next to these runners,
right?
Because it's going to be at least double this year from what it was last year, stolen bases, and, you know, the bigger bases and the only two attempts. I just don't understand the two attempts. I really don't get it, because you can't hold the ball any further than the 20 seconds. And that's the biggest thing. Most guys don't know. Most fans don't know. You don't throw to first base as a pitcher to pick a guy off necessarily. Yeah, you might catch him over there and have a quick move once in a while, but you're throwing over mainly to kind of just get him a half a step or a quarter step back to first base so he can't get to second base. And you might want to see if the hitter is going to sack bunt. So you do those things, just things, and see if you can see what's happening during the game within a game, and that's where that's at. So, man, back when, you just don't see the runners like you saw back when. You're talking about the Vince Colemans of the world and all those guys. So it's, and you're right with St. Louis. You're right on with St. Louis. Every aspect of the game they've always had. Yeah, they've had a down year this year. Okay, whatever. They got a new catcher in town, and things kind of changed up a little bit with everybody. But man, you're right. I think they're the exception to the rule every year with baseball and bringing guys and developing guys. They've always done a great job with that.
Well, and not only that, we're down to the last 3 minutes, and some of the underrated guys, I don't want to disrespect them, but back then, boy, they could flat-out run, too. Pip Roberts, Tim Raines, Delino DeShields, Juan Samuel. I mean, you could throw Howard Johnson. Even the guy you play, Barry Larkin, I mean, could flat-out steal bases. And when you look at those guys, and when you look at the catchers today, yeah, you got the real motos. You got the Henry Davis, a young gun in Pittsburgh. You got, you know, Will Smith in L.A. I'm going to tell you, watch out for that kid in San Francisco that replaced Buster Posey. That kid is flat out throwing guys out from his knees, and Patrick Bailey. That guy, I mean, but you're right. The speed is not there now as it once was with the guys that you played with. And, boy, just those guys is just unbelievable.
Yeah, when you bring the whole package together, first guy I always think of is Eric Davis. I mean, just I can't even imagine what his career would have been had he not gotten hurt so many times, and then he had that spleen problem in the World Series. I mean, people don't really believe me when I say he was by far the best player I ever played with or against. There's not a doubt about it. I mean, everybody says, you played against Bonds. Like, I know, Bonds wasn't as good as Eric Davis when Eric Davis was healthy. And, you know, just the stolen bases and the home runs and what he did as a player in the outfield and all over the game, you know, he just brought a different, completely different aspect to the game of baseball, because he hurt you in every stinking way there was out there to play the game. So you know, Howard Johnson, you're right. I mean, there's so many guys that could steal. And it wasn't just they were lightning fast. It was they learned how to steal bases. I mean, George Brett was a great base runner. And he was just average runner, but he was a great base runner. And that's what I think the lost art today with a lot of that is. It's like, you know, if I'm fast, I can steal base. Well, it doesn't work that way. Now they're changing a little bit with the rules change. But, the stolen base guys, man, they completely changed the game within the game, for sure, Mark.
Oh, my gosh. We can go on for hours. We just keep kicking up steam with different topics each and every week. I'm so blessed to do this with you. And it's just like we set the bar constantly, because you don't hear a lot of these kind of topics on shows today. And I'm just so blessed from the bottom of my heart each and every week to do this with you, Kip.
I am too, Mark. I'm really, really, really digging this, and I'm loving it. And we're talking about anything and everything, and I think that's where it should be, because I'd like to get the fans to understand what really happens on a baseball field than just what you see as an average fan, because there is so much more out there. And you know, I was one of the guys, I was a student of the game when I came, you know, from Gary, Nebraska. I didn't have, you know, instructors and baseball like they have in all the bigger cities. And so I had to learn how to play the game, and I learned from some of the best in the world, obviously, you know, the Eric Davis of the world. It was just those guys and Barry Larkin and you know, Oral Hershiser and some of these guys that just, you learn from them. And now it's like, whoa, hold on here. That happened too. Oh, all right. And that's what I really like to bring to the show, if we could.
And I'll tell you, one of the listeners brought up the uniforms in the heyday. We'll get into that, best and worst looking uniforms. Bill North wants you on his show. We'll work that deal out. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as we reconvene next Tuesday in between birthdays. My mom on the 7th, my granddaughter on the 9th.
Oh, happy birthday to both. Yeah. Beagamer@gmail.com. That's B as in boy, E as in Edward, A as in Adam, gamer@gmail.com, beagamer@gmail.com, and kipgross.com. And we're gaining momentum, we're gaining steam, and let's keep this thing rocking, Mark.
I love it, man. From your mouth to God's ears. That's Kip Gross out there in beautiful Newport. I'm in humid Los Angeles in the suburbs. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We'll be back on next Tuesday, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. We'll be talking third baseman. We'll talk uniforms. We'll talk everything. Till then, have a blessed one. Thanks for tuning in, and stay safe. Thank you very much, Kip.
We'll see you all next week, guys.
God bless.